through the miracles of texting, I talked with the pastor, and he said that the 18th, they will have the funeral for Sister Cheadle. It'd be at 4 o'clock on the 18th. Amen. And then for the children, right after the program, the sermon, they'd be passing out cookies over here to the left. All righty. Amen. Line formed behind me. Behind you. Taking tests. Sometimes they can be something very stressful. We're looking at graduation. People who have, especially higher education, have looked forward to completing their tests so that they can move on with their careers and different things. But God also tests us. Amen? He wants to know that you really, really, really love him. Amen? Remember when he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" "Yeah, I love you." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yeah, I love you." "Peter, do you love me?" Now he's really concerned now because he, "Lord, you know I love you." That's where he was trying to get to in the first place. It's just not a casual affair that we have with God. It's eternity weighed in the balance. Amen? Weighed in the balance. And so we're going to look at the Sabbath, the law and the Sabbath, as a test of loyalty to God. We read here in Psalms 119, chapter 1, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." Blessed are the undefiled. They're the people that are not sinning. They're not breaking in God's law. It was a plan from Satan to disrupt God's government, to challenge his law. The angels really didn't need any law. I mean, they were angels. Why should they have laws? And he created such a ruckus up there, they finally had to kick him and his cohorts out. Next, he tempted Adam and Eve. And through the use of false doctrines, fables, traditions, things have become kind of blurred today. You ask yourself, what is actually right? Just because we've always done a certain thing a certain way doesn't necessarily make it right. You know, well, this is always, we always done it. I don't know, how far have we come in keeping up with what God has intended for us? Thousands pride themselves with their own wisdom and independence. You know, the Lord will speak to me and I will get it, you know, whatever it is, you know. We're trusting in our own wisdom. And when we find what's at stake is eternity. You look at the story of the 10 virgins. They're virgins because they're not out in the street, they're not prowling around, they're not creating a ruckus in church or none of that. But some were wise and some were foolish. Some were just trusting in their own independence. And as a result, they were lost. And of that group, we talked about it once before, that nothing that they did, even when they went to find oil, Nothing could save them. Nothing could save them. And then we look at the Sabbath as a test. You find here in Ezekiel 20:20, hallow my Sabbath, that you will be a sign between me and you, that you may be known as I am your Lord God. So we want to hallow his Sabbath, and it shall be a sign between me and you, that you may be known that I am your God. Many do not have the opportunity to learn this message at this time. We have Sunday worship going on. All the major Protestant churches are meeting on Sundays. And yet we still have to get this word out that the Sabbath is the day that we should be studying, that we should be keeping. It's a loyalty thing between God the Creator. It's accepting him as the creator of the world, as he spoke and it was, he commanded and it stood fast. That type of being, as the praise team was singing the various songs, and I could just see the Lord looking down, yes, that's what I'm doing, that's how I take care of you and everything. And I wonder, did we actually understand that he's here? He's looking down, his angels are here worshiping with us. It's only one day out of a week that he calls the Sabbath, and yet somehow we find ourselves, we're not so content with giving him one, we want it all to ourselves. He gave us 6 days, he said, at least give me one, but we find ourselves doing our own thing even on the Sabbath day. Amen? We find ourselves doing it. The enforcement of Sunday observance is fast coming. You say, well, you know, I'm ready for this. I've been hearing this all my life. But the things doesn't always come in the same form as we think it might. And before you know it, it's on us. It's been taking place. And we see how things can change so quickly. The gay issue, we voted down, it didn't stop it. They put it back on the ballot, and now it's considered the norm just in a matter of a few years. These things happen very suddenly. Stealthily, these things take place. And the devil's saying, look, they're not watching. They're not taking care of themselves. They're not getting it together. Obedience to the law is a condition of happiness. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my commandment, then ye shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. A special people. And sometimes we think ourselves not so special at all, realizing that God said he's pouring everything that he has into this church. You're the ones that's going to take it to the end. When I was running track there in Europe and being on the relay teams, it's a place you have wanted to be, either at the beginning or you wanted to be the one that would bring it home, the baton. And especially if you wanted someone, sometimes we put our best runner at the front because we wanted to try to get the lead. And so that when it came around the baton, that hopefully that at the end we would have an advantage. Or sometimes we would put it at the end so that that one would be able to catch up and to still get the victory. We are the people, chosen people of God. And we have a tremendous work to be done here in Bakersfield, not only as we talk about taking the gospel to all the universe and everything else, we just got enough here in Kern County to deal with. Amen? And the thing is, what have we done that has made an impression? We have auditorium. We have a thing there for we can do cooking classes, but it's pushed up against the wall and been there for years. We're not using it. Big auditorium over there, could be things going on during the week. Nothing. We're going to have to give an account of all this as to what did we do with our time. Adam and Eve had the freedom of choice, but they squandered it away. They chose independence. I can learn more on my own. And as a result, sin entered the world. Now, God could have stayed Adam's hand from doing what he did, and Eve. He could have been there, right at the scene there, where you think you're going, you know, come on back, and he could have done all of that. But the thing is, we have the same test ourselves, don't we? We make the choices, amen? They will substitute the divine government. And there is no government without law. Amen? Satan thought he could have a government of his own without lawless, without law. And found out that all he had was chaos. An expression of thanks. Genesis chapter 2 and 3, dealing with the Sabbath. Then God blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work, which God had created and made. The Sabbath, sometimes we think it's like a burden. Maybe we're like Esau. Remember Esau had the birthright? But he didn't really want it because it was so cumbersome. Yeah, I got to be the Adventist. You know, I got to eat this. I can't go here. I can't do that. It's just a burden. And we act like that. And yet we wonder how come people doesn't get it, what it is, because we ourselves are not enthused about it, because it hinders us. We cannot have our full expression. And we are supposed to, in our whole conversation during the Sabbath day, and we figure that, well, as long as I come, maybe not to Sabbath school, but I get there. Well, they really don't start at 11, so about 11:30. And we come, and then once it's over with, 11:30, we out of here by 12:30. And we, oh, what? Okay. The thing is, and then we think that we are free. We have fulfilled our commitment. And God said, this is an all-day affair. Amen? It doesn't necessarily mean that you go home and sleep it away just because it's a rest. He expects you to engage in activity. Amen? I constantly have to wrestle with the pastor. Where are you going? I have to go to Delano, to the prison. But we need you here at the church. I said, well, I need to get up there to see the brethren, to encourage them. Or I have to go to a corporate. And then he said, well, we still need you here more. He said, if we are faithful, that he said he will cause us to feed off the heritage of Jacob. That blessing that he got when he went in there to get the birthright. Double portions, all the goodies and everything else. If we're faithful, we will have all those things. Amen? We could be the most prosperous people. And yet sometimes we well, this is all we got. This is all I have. And I'm on a little fixed income. And I can't give nothing. It's just pathetic. And yet God said, look, I got so much that you have access to, but you don't use it. I know Miss Elizabeth, if we gave her a credit card and told her a debit card, say that if just this is the combination. Do what you want to do. Woo! But God says it does the same thing. He said, everything belongs to me. If it belongs to me, it belongs to who? To you. And he said, I want to give you so much. The law is the law of love. Romans 13, verse 10. Love is the fulfillment of the law. God requires us to keep his commandments, but it's only because if you love him. Amen? And once you start thinking that it's a burden, it's not love anymore. It's just not right anymore. So we try to do like some of the other churches. It becomes tradition. It becomes form. And it's not real. And yet we are called to do this tremendous work. And we're not going to do it all by ourselves. Because the thing is, if we're not doing anything now, what makes you think that when the time of trouble comes, you're going to be doing anything more? If you can't run with the foot soldiers, how in the world are you going to keep up with the horsemen? Israel fell into the trap, and their worship became like a form of ceremonies. Not really real. And the time is so short. We were talking about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. We were reading about that. And high on that fateful morning, sun was beginning to rise. Merchants were sweeping off their front porch, getting all the stuff ready for a busy day. The two son-in-laws of Lot had came together, two cups of postum there, drinking and talking about how crazy Lot was. And they said that there was something like a mutter of thunder. And then the cascading of fire that fell down. No warning. Day just like any other day, the birds were singing. They were going about their activities. and it all ended. We're going to be caught by surprise. Amen? We're going to be caught by surprise. Even though we're looking for it to happen, and it's still going to be caught, catch us by surprise. Even the Pharisees, when Christ was preaching, they recognized something unique and different about him. Something special. But somehow they just would not yield. And as a result, they were eventually rejected. They were the one that wanted to kill him now, because he was in turn taking the church away from them, the Creator. And yet somehow we just fail to fully comprehend this divine love that God has for us. The Lord's Day, Mark chapter 2, verse 27 and 28. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the what? For the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. God desires us to do to correct the errors of the Sabbath. He gave us the Sabbath to be a sign between him and us. And then he said, if you would turn your foot away from doing your own pleasures, thinking your own thoughts, using your own words on the Sabbath. Because as soon as we say amen, we part the doors, the conversation just goes everywhere. After a while, you don't know what, you know, your conversation isn't holy anymore. It's all over with. You know, we've been to church and we did our little do, and that's it. But we need to take time to be holy. Amen? How do we correct this error of the Sabbath? One is by living it, amen? Fulfilling it. It's supposed to be a thing of love. I know, I'm just so busy. I got so much going on in my life. And what he tells us about the world, be in the world, but what? Not of the world. And the devil has got the world running you so much that, you know, you just can't afford to be holy. You can't afford to even give God a full day. You can't do it. You're hard pressed for, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to. And your mind is constantly running. I was trying to focus on the sermon, and something kept coming into my mind. I said, what is this? What's the problem? I'm trying to focus on you. And Lord, can't you clear my mind? Can't you clear it up? And pretty soon, you know, begin to lift a little bit. But sometimes it's the enemy. All he wants to do is just hover over you and make you think that everything is dull and drab and everything else. And God said, I just want to, during these sacred hours, I just want to be with you. And I appreciated those two last two songs of the praise scene. It was just awesome. And yet, you know, what God relationship with us, how we surrender ourselves and everything. I said, is this just a form now? Or is this the real deal here? It's one of these the Sabbath, we look at it and say, there's a lot of things about the Sabbath that you got a list of I can't do's. and it just messes up the Sabbath, you know, because I just can't do this, I can't do that. Not focus on what you can do, but what you can't do. And then the thing about the sermons, they asked today, who's preaching? I said, oh, I am. Is it going to be a 5-minute sermon? A 5-minute sermon. You know, we use this text from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. Everything ought to be done in what? Decently in order. That means you can't go over this time. That means you can't do this. That means anything to get out of here and then do what you have to do. They always want to throw that verse up. It needs to be done decently in order. And in order is 5-minute sermons and let us go. You're going to be looking forward to some of these days. Oh yeah, you're gonna be like the virgins. Oh yeah, you're gonna be looking for these days when I could have stayed all day, all week if necessary, just to be blessed, just to give God some praise. Amen. So I want you to re-examine what you do on the Sabbath, making sure that it's His day. And that I want to rejoice. He said, make it a what? A joy and a delight. Amen? I was down there at the vegetarian place down there at in the L.A. area there. And me and the wife were looking at some of the stuff that they had there. Veggie USA, I think it was. And so looking through some of the stuff. Pork belly, salt pork, vegan salt pork. I said, what in the world? All of these things, they said vegan right on it, you know. I said, my goodness. I got me a couple packs. Yeah, I said. Last Sabbath, I think was the last time we had a potluck. We had here with the speaker, and so I had cooked some white beans, and I had thrown some of the vegetarian salt pork. And pastor grabbed a bowl. What in the world did we get? I said, "This is what it is. This is vegan." I said, "I hope it don't take you back." to the day, but just trying out some stuff here. But make the Sabbath a delight. Trust in the Lord and give Him your whole time today. Amen? I know there's things you had planned to do and something else and whatever else it is, but trust in the Lord. Amen? And give Him some praise. Now, the biggest thing is asking for forgiveness of sin. Amen? This is where it's the most important. I just cannot be a sinner and still have a good Sabbath with Him. Because the wages of sin is what? Death. And I with the sentence of death, how come I just can't clean myself up and present myself before Him? And I can understand where the young man that went to the wedding and he wasn't in the right garment. And finally the host approached him and said, how come you're not in the right garment? He was speechless. And they cast him out. God said sometimes your worship service, the whole thing is just unacceptable. Unacceptable. I don't feel none of this. And because we came here, we did a few songs, we had a prayer and different things, and we thought, well, we done did it. But God said, I reject it all because love was not in it. Amen. We have to do things because of love. Do I really love my Lord? Amen. We sing the songs and we sway back and forth and everything, but this, when the music stops, does that stop too? Does the love stop? You know, we got to be real, amen? And the thing is, we want to worship God and we want to do the right thing. The thing is, we probably need to start with forgiveness. Amen? That's where we need to start. And looking at our lives, in each one of our lives, and saying, you know, Lord, I know I haven't always done right. I want to change. I want to commit myself to you. Like the last part of that song, it was talking about, I release everything to you. Maybe that's what we ought to do here this morning. Just release it all back to him. I just want to be... make sure from this Sabbath on that I give God all the praise and all the best due him. Amen? I don't want to take a chance on next week. A lot of folks don't make it out of next week. And when I looked at the statistics on how many people, thousands of people died in one day. In one day, thousands of people died. They just didn't make it out. And this is how the world is. And maybe this is what we need to start right here at Southside. That if we are devoted and committed to God and keep his Sabbath and give him all the glory, the things that he said he would do for us. And if we're doing that, then the thing of witnessing and encouraging others should come easy. Amen? Because you're living it. You're part of it. Amen? That's what it's all about. So I'd like to invite you to come down for those who haven't always, you know, I know I haven't done it always. I haven't kept the full Sabbath day blessing as I should. I just haven't done it. I know that I come to church true enough sometimes, but even then, my Sabbath, my commitment to you is not truly committed to you. And I just want to do the right thing. Not too many times we get second and third chances to make things right. Amen? I know some of you thinking, well, you know, I'm all right. I got mine together. All right. The Lord knows my heart. The heart is what? Deceitful above all things. Just like to invite you to come down and to say, yes, Lord, I want to surrender my life to you today. I want to commit to you that no matter what, from now on, each Sabbath will be a day that I will give you the glory. I will share with you the love that you intended for us to have and keep your commandments. That's what we need today. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, forgive us for we have sinned against you. We ask you, Father, that you had promised that you would remember our sins no more. And we want to make sure that each Sabbath and preparation for the Sabbath is very serious. That as we anticipate and as we approach the Sabbath, that we're just focused on you. Being in your presence, being in your spirit, again, we just beg for your forgiveness. We have failed so miserably in this area of just being faithful to you. We ask also, dear Father, for blessing upon our young people in a very special way. They are the ones that will be leading out and taking over. But if they can grasp the significance of the Sabbath as a young person, oh, what God can do with them. We think of the story of Daniel. How that at a very young age of 20 years old, how he was able to interpret the dreams for the king because he had that relationship with God. Young people, we think of Joseph, sold away, foreign country, yet that relationship with God still remained. Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we might have that communion with you. Again, forgive us, we pray, for where we have erred or fallen short. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your patience with us. In Jesus' name, we pray and we thank thee. Amen.